Shabbat Shalom once again. This time we get to hear from the great Kahan, Levi Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. I want to continue a sermon that started a couple months ago, speaking about overcoming the desire to sin. So if we would turn to 1 Yochanan chapter 2, because there's so much to cover, there's so much information that Yahweh has given us throughout the scriptures on how we can overcome that desire to sin. As we covered the last time, we could see that in Genesis 4:4, that Cain was told to overcome the desire to sin. We also looked at Genesis chapter 3 on how that was introduced to Eve. But one of the things that we have to really pay attention to is that this entire world, the way it is structured, and when you get the New Prophetic Word magazine that talks about deception, the entire world is run by Satan. The whole world is deceived, as we know in Revelation 12:9, but the whole world is also run by that deception. So everything that is portrayed to us out in the world is based on lies. It's not reality. But these lies that the world is based on has really dangerous effects, because you break Yahweh's laws by following these lies, you will bring curses upon yourself, harm upon yourself. Of course, you can see the wars, the fighting, and everything else that is going on. But the way that we are drawn in is through our desires. You know, for many of us in the house of Yahweh, we were born in this world and we were called out of it. But for the young people in the house of Yahweh right now, who hasn't been called out of this world but have been raised in the house of Yahweh, you truly have a very unique opportunity. You know, like this morning we were covering in the first book of Israel, and I was asking some of the young boys the question, what does it mean to come out of the world? And they just kind of shrugged their shoulders because they never really came out of the world. So they really didn't understand the concept of coming out of the world, because there was no world for them to come out of. They have been born in the house of Yahweh. They have been raised in the house of Yahweh. So our responsibility is to guard them from the world. You know, that's our responsibility as adults in the house of Yahweh, is to guard them from the evil influences that are out there so that they don't get trapped by Satan, as many of us have been trapped, struggling to overcome sinful desires. You know, that's our job at this time. But for the young ones, for the young people, young men and young women who have been raised, born in the house of Yahweh, they could really keep their minds focused on righteousness. But it is a challenge, because the world is all around in so many different forms. But you have to remember that it's Satan's will. It's not Yahweh's will at this time. Let's turn to 1 Yochanan chapter 2, picking up from where we left off. This was the last scripture that I left off on the last time, and we'll pick up on that scripture. 1 Yochanan chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. It says, do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, and this is really a fact. It's a scriptural fact. It's black and white. Because, and you'll see why. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's of Satan, who have deceived the entire world. And the world passes away with the lust that is in it, but he who does the will of Yahweh abides forever. And this is something that we have to remember. You know, the pleasures of this world are temporary. It's really not going to last forever. The things of this world, you know, the movies, the television shows, the music, the distractions that you could find in abundance on the internet, these things are not eternal. They're not going to last. As a matter of fact, if someone was to cut the electric, you'll see how quickly a lot of those things disappear. Instantly. You know, but that's just the way of the world, the things of this world. But notice in verse 16, it talks about the lust. And this is what we were speaking of the last time. So just to refresh our memories a little bit concerning the definition of the word lust, and this is taken from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia says, lust is an emotion or feeling of intense desire in the body. The lust can take any form, such as lust for knowledge, the lust for sex, or the lust for power. It can take such mundane forms as the lust for food, as distinct from the need for food. Lust is a powerful psychological force producing intense wanting for an object or circumstance fulfilling the emotion. So it's a strong psychological force, powerful psychological force. It affects the mind, not only the mind, but it also affects the heart. Concerning desire, desire is a sense of longing for a person or object or hoping for an outcome. Desire is the fire that sets actions aflame. The same sense is expressed by emotions such as craving or hankering. When a person desires something or someone, their sense of longing, which refers to the lust, is excited by the enjoyment or the thought of the item or person, and they want to take actions to obtain their goals. So you could see that it starts off with the thought. That's where it begins. It begins with that thought. Going further on in this particular article here from Wikipedia concerning desire, it says marketing and advertising companies have used psychological research on how desire is stimulated to find more effective ways to induce consumers to buy a given product or service. To induce. This word induce, taken from dictionary.com, means to lead or move by persuasion or influence as to some action or state of mind. To bring, produce, or cause. To bring about, produce, or cause. So marketing is used to bring about certain things, to cause certain things. Further on in the article, it says, while some advertising attempts to give buyers a sense of lack or wanting, other types of advertising creates desire, associating the product with desirable attributes, either by showing a celebrity or model with the product. So again, marketing and advertising companies have used psychological research on how desire is stimulating. Well, the one that they're learning this from, if you remember, as we covered in Genesis chapter 3, Satan was the one who used this first on Eve. Satan created a desire in Eve that she didn't have previously by the lies that was told to her. Somehow she felt that she was lacking something, and if she got this, what Yahweh told her not to get, it would fulfill that desire. But it was something that was created. When you read Genesis chapter 3, we don't have time to really get back into it. But marketing today do the same thing. They have researched it. And the way they try to get people to purchase products is through sin, through sinful means, by many different sinful means. But it is something that they have studied. But they try to get an individual, try to lead them by persuasion to buy a given product or service. A little bit more about marketing and how this is sold, because the point that I want to make here is that the desire to sin is sold to us in the world today. Whether it's via the television, whether it's via the movies, the radio, whether it's off the internet, the desire to sin is being sold, it's being pushed, it's being marketed. The lifestyle of Satan permeates the world today, and there are very real consequences if we buy into it. Now, in the field of marketing, desire is the human appetite for a given object of attention. Desire for a product is stimulated by advertising, which attempts to give buyers a sense of lack or wanting. So they advertise something, and what they're trying to tell you is that they're trying to stimulate that you're missing out on something, that you're wanting something, and whatever they're advertising, this is really what you need in order to satisfy that desire that they of themselves have created. In store retailing, merchants attempt to increase the desire of the buyer by showcasing the product attractively, in the case of clothes or jewelry, or for food stores by offering samples. With print, TV, and radio advertising, desire is created by giving the potential buyer a sense of lacking. For example, are you still driving that old car? Right, this is just an example. Or by associating the product with desirable attributes, either by showing a celebrity using or wearing the product, or by giving the product a halo effect by showing attractive models with the product. Nike's Just Do It ads for sports shoes are appealing to consumers' desires for self-betterment. In some cases, the potential buyer has the desire for the product before they enter the store, as in the case of a decorating buff, etc. Then they said the role of the salespeople in these cases is simply to guide the customer towards making a choice. They do not have to sell the general idea of making a purchase because the customer already wants the product. In other cases, the potential buyer does not have a desire for the product or service, and so the company has to create the sense of desire. And this is what Satan did in the very beginning. She created this sense of desire because that's how it started, but now coming down to the last days, it has been perfected and it's everywhere. An example of this situation is for life insurance. Most young adults are not thinking about dying, so they are not naturally thinking about how they need to have accidental death insurance. Life insurance companies, though, have managed to create a desire for life insurance with advertising that shows pictures of children and ask, if anything happens to you, who will pay for the children's upkeep? So again, this is just an example of how they create desire. You know, a desire being created where there was none previously, but it's being done through marketing, it's being done through advertising. Another example is personal hygiene products such as anti-dandruff shampoo and mouthwash. They said prior to the introduction of commercials advertising anti-dandruff shampoo and mouthwash, it is unlikely that consumers had an intrinsic desire to use these products. So what occurred, they just let the flakes fall on their shoulders and, and whatever. If you're wondering what they did back in those days, they just didn't worry about these things. However, after seeing commercials depicting the social undesirability of flakes on the shoulder or of bad breath, it created a desire to resolve these fears. But the point I'm wanting to make is these desires are being created. Desires are being manufactured by the world, by Satan's world. And that's why I said the last time that you have to avoid this world because it will create in you desires that you never had previously. And especially, I want everyone to really think about the children that is in our midst. And for young people, think about these things yourself, especially for those of you who have been raised in the house of Yahweh, those of you who have been born in the house of Yahweh. If you expose yourself to the world, you will have unlawful desires. Because that's just the way the world is structured. It's made in such a way, Satan's world is made in such a way that it will create unlawful desires in you. But this is what they do. They have studied how to create these desires. But again, it says, marketing theorists call desire the third stage in the hierarchy of effects, which occurs when the buyer develops a sense that if they felt the need for the type of product in question, the advertised product is what would quench their desire. So Satan is in the business of selling sin. You expose yourself to sin, what your mind and your heart is going to start thinking is that if you could go ahead and sin, then you will satisfy that desire that has been created. We know in the house of Yahweh that sin leads to death. So yes, if you do satisfy sinful desires, dying, you will die. So the key is not to expose yourself to sin, to the ways of this world, because you really, really have to avoid it. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and reading verse 22. This is found on page 938 in the book of Yahweh. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22, it says, "Also flee from youthful lust, but follow after righteousness." Flee from youthful lust. And it's really talking about those who are young and the things that are being pushed to the young people at this time, especially via the internet. You know, and even adults will testify that the internet is a trap because there are so many things that just pops up on the screen. But everything that pops up on the screen, it do have an effect on your mind because it's trying to produce a desire in you. And if your mind is not guarded, then of course you will start having sinful desires. Because the thing that the, you know, especially when they market to 18 to 25 year old, they try to portray products as being fun. You know, they try to portray products as something that you'll really enjoy. Something, you know, a lot of times another thing that they really promote is rebellion against authority. You find a lot of that in the music and so forth. But all of this is designed for one purpose, which is to take you out of the house of Yahweh. You know, it's really designed for that purpose, to take you out of the house of Yahweh so you can lose out on the opportunity that Yahweh has offered to you at this time. Let's look at, you know, the side note here gives reference to Luke chapter 15 that talks about the prodigal son. And it's an example of someone who gave in to the youthful lust. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, found on page 801 in the book of Yahweh. And reading verse 11, it says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons. Now the younger of them said to his father, 'Give me the portion of the property which is coming to me.' So he divided the inheritance between them. Then not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together, journeyed into a distant land, and there squandered his property with riotous living." So if you compare this to being in the house of Yahweh, this is like a young person being raised in righteousness, deciding, well, you know what? I can't really wait on Yahweh and Yahweh's plan. I'm just going to go out the house of Yahweh and enjoy life. And this is basically what this individual decided. They were just going to leave their father's house, take whatever they had with them, and go out and enjoy life. Because this riotous living, when you look it up, there are two words that are used. One of it is dissolute, which is part of the meaning of riotous, and it means indifferent to moral restraints, given to immoral or improper conduct, licentious, and dissipated. The other definition here shows that it means also utterly and shamelessly immoral. Utterly and shamelessly immoral. So this young person who was raised, this one son who was raised right, decided that he was just going to go against all the training, the teaching, the instruction that he was given in his father's house and squander his inheritance. But when he had spent everything, following Satan's way to the fullest, there arose a great famine in the land and he began to be in want. He began to realize that he was really lacking certain things. And this is what we in the house of Yahweh try to protect everyone from, ending up in a situation where the curses, the diseases, the sickness and so forth starts affecting you. Because by the time these things really get a hold of you, it's really too late in many instances to turn it around because of the general defilement of the world and everything else. But the whole purpose is really to avoid this situation here of wanting to go out into the world and experience the world, which experiences the worst possible teacher, and then have some of the problems that the world has. I have an article here I wasn't able to print it out, so I had to do the next best thing. Let's see if I could find it. But it's talking about the internet, and it's a study. This was from Science Daily, and it's in other publications, but it was published on January 14, 2013. And it says, a new study highlights the risk that female teenagers face when they go online. Now, they studied female teenagers, but this is really a risk that everybody faces, not just females, but also males. There's a risk for everyone when you go online. But it says, a risk heightened for teen girls who have been victims of abuse or neglect. The study published in the Journal of Pediatrics showed that 30% of teenagers reported having offline meetings with people they have met on the internet and whose identity had not been fully confirmed prior to the meeting. Because really, there's no way of confirming someone's identity on the internet. You have no idea who you're talking to. You have, you know, they could say, well, they're 18 and they could be 40. There's really no way of confirming anything on the internet. But these meetings have been benign, but for an adolescent girl to do it is dangerous, which is really for anyone to do it is dangerous, says Jenny Knoll, a PhD, a psychologist at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center and the study's lead author. Moreover, abused or neglected teenage girls were more likely to present themselves online in a sexually provocative way than other teenage girls. Research shows that high-risk online profiles are more likely to lead to offline meetings, according to Dr. Knoll, Director of Research in Behavioral Medicine and Clinical Psychology. If someone is looking for a vulnerable teen to start an online sexual discourse, they will more likely target someone who presents herself provocatively, she says. Maltreatment poses a unique risk. It poses a unique risk for online behavior that may set the stage for harm. Dr. Knoll and her colleagues studied 251 adolescent girls between the ages of 14 and 17. About half were victims of abuse or neglect. Now, they said if families installed internet filtering software at home, it made no difference in the association between maltreatment and high-risk internet behaviors, says Dr. Knoll. So these are, so even if you think that you know you may have young people in your house and you may have internet filtering mechanisms on the internet, don't rely on it. Don't think that that is enough to protect the ones whom Yahweh has given you the responsibility to oversee. Continuing on in this particular article, it says these behaviors. They're talking about the behaviors that they were looking at, included intentionally seeking adult content, provocative self-presentations on social networking sites, and receiving sexual advances online. On the other hand, now pay close attention to this. On the other hand, high-quality parenting and parental monitoring help reduce the association between adolescent risk factors and these online behaviors, she says, high-quality parenting. In appearance, it's really, really crazy to think that you could just let the young people in your house go online without any kind of supervision, because you really have no idea what they're coming in contact with, what they're exposing themselves to. And I could guarantee you they're exposing themselves to Satan, because Satan is everywhere online. Now, not you're not going to see the female being online, but her ways online, that's what I'm referring to. But that's what they're going to find, you know. And this is really, the problem with this, again, is that if someone is striving to overcome sin, you have to avoid it. You know, I don't have time to get into that aspect of it, avoiding sin and that, and also becoming like Yahshua. But you have to avoid putting these things in front of yourself. You also have to avoid putting it in front of your children, or just simply allowing them and trusting them that somehow they're not going to find it because it's being pushed. Remember that what we read on marketing. They have products to sell. They want people to buy into the entertainment of this world, the music, whatever it is, and they are going to try to get them hooked on it in one way or another. And the filtering mechanisms, they really don't work effectively because there are so many ways that they get around these things. So we really need to be on guard, guard ourselves, guard our children so that they don't be exposed to these things, so that they don't fall into the many traps that Satan has laid out there for them. So may Yahweh bless the understanding. So at this time, I'll ask for everyone to please stand. Now turn the services over to the great Kohen Zephaniah Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. Please be seated. We have a lot of news this week on all the prophecies being fulfilled, but we're going to start off with global warming. Two CBS News stories that kind of back that up, including the fact that I guess the shrimp or the lobster is something like 90% down this year, some really incredible amount. And then they're going to show the abortion has set a record, 333,000 plus for 2011. So they're trying to pretend that abortions are going down, but this is actual abortions going up, Planned Parenthood only. That count is only for Planned Parenthood. There's others, of course. And then the Pope is going to call for peace. He has a State of the World address. You'll see that. And he says that Syria, if they don't stop this, Syria will become a field of ruins, which matches the scripture, which talks about it becoming a ruinous heap. And then there's firefighters are led to a fire, and then they're killed by the man who set the fire, who says he enjoys doing what he likes best, killing people, and then he kills himself. And then we have an India gang rape, a California school shooting, and then an Alabama pastor of a church kills his wife, shoots his daughter, and stabs himself. And they're not even talking about this, but I think it looks like it has something to do with pedophilia that's going on in that church. So all of these things match exactly what Pastor has been teaching us for years. So let's play the video. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohen Israel Hawkins!
Beautiful praise to Yahweh. Oh, that's beautiful. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. They're lying when they say that abortions, murder through abortion, is declining. It's not. They're still murdering. In fact, it's risen, but they don't count the morning after pills that they're killing the babies with, that they're murdering the babies with. You're murderers. That's what you are. That's what the scriptures show you. Believe or not, you're murderers. And if you don't, you can go ahead and turn the television off if you want to, but you'll never find out how you can be saved or how you can have salvation if you do. You really need to cut your temper down now. I know you're wanting to kill me. I'm not speaking to the group here. I'm speaking to the ones out in radio land that's wanting to kill me. Thank you. Let's see. The number of abortions per second, 15 to 25. Right? 15 to 25 per second right now. But now, see, that's not even including the ones they're killing with the pills. You know, they're putting poison in a woman's body to kill it, to murder the baby. Okay. Back to Yahweh's house and the wonderful future we have to look forward to. They could repent, but they won't. Scripture says they won't. There's too many things involved. Second tithe. I want you to go over to Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. Now, we've never been able to fulfill this law before, but as far as I can see, we are. you may have to look over my weaknesses, but my tolerate the shortcomings. But I think we have it to where we can actually fulfill this, and have been doing it for a while. But we're making a lot of mistakes, but we're getting better. And Yahweh forgives us, and so if the others don't, that's their problem. It's not ours, because the Okies, they just grab the bull by the horn and go with it, and that's what we're doing in this, and we've gotten to where we can actually do this now. So pay attention to number 23. He said, eat the second tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil and your firstlings of your herds and of your flocks in front of Yahweh, your Father, in the place he chooses to establish his name. That, of course, is the house of Yahweh. And thereby learning to reverence. Now, it takes a little doing to do this. And especially the next part that I'm going to read you. Thereby learning to reverence Yahweh, your Father, always. So this teaches you a lesson here. It's a little bit painful sometimes to do it, but do it anyway. And of course, that you will think better of yourself, and especially in these last days when everything is closing in on the world and Babylon is falling. If you look at verse 26, if the way be too far, then you shall spend, if the way be too far, go back to 24, too long for you, then sell it and put the money in your hand and go to the place that Yahweh chooses. Then you shall spend that money. After you go to the place he chooses, then you shall spend that second tithe. Then you shall spend that money for whatsoever you desire to have, for oxen or for sheep or for wine or strong drink. And now I hope you're doing what I've asked you to do and what I've done myself, what I'm doing myself. And that is, I'm doing the same thing that Yahshua said he was going to do. I'm not going to drink this anymore till I drank it with him. In the kingdom, and there's a great blessing that comes with that. If you remember, Yahweh said to the boys that obeyed their father and would not drink wine, he said, "There's going to be a place in my kingdom for your sons." Now, indicating, because they've done this, indicating that there won't be a place in my kingdom for your sons if they didn't do this. If they didn't obey their father, their Abba, their teacher. Or for whatsoever you desire to have, you shall then eat there in front of Yahweh your Father, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. It is possible for us to do this because of we have things set up to where you can even tell us in advance just what you want. Call us. You know the phone numbers. You know the store numbers. And of course, we got people that's anxious to serve you, anxious to get what you want if it's special. It's a little bit risky, and we've made it's costly. It's very costly to do this, but we have come out of the world in many aspects. We may be lacking a little, but we're certainly trying. I want to show you a picture here, and don't get sick now, but if I can zoom in on that thing to where we can get a close-up here. The ones in that looks like brown right there, that's pigs' heads. Pigs' heads. If you notice in the pictures, when they show these pictures of the gods and the meals that are served to them, The pig's head always had an apple in its mouth. And whether you know it or not, this is supposed to indicate the first sin of Eve, the apple. That's a forbidden fruit, you know. Well, the forbidden fruit, of course, was the pig. And when they show this pig out on a plate and on a big long platter and on a table, well, that's what they're showing you. That was the first rebellion done by Eve. I know it doesn't say so in the scripture, at least I haven't found it yet. But notice our great deacon, Stefania Ratosky Hawkins, went by and took this for me because he heard me mention this. But if you notice on each side of this, there's chicken and white breast, turkey breast on one side and chicken on the other side. And if you get in the fish department, you'll see clean fish. But the world, they don't even know, you know, that there's clean fish and unclean fish. And they don't know that they're sticking this unclean stuff in their stomach. And, of course, it goes to the brain. It's one of the results of school shootings. One of a great number. Today, as far as I can tell, and I vow before Yahweh, this is true. This beef stroganoff, which is a wonderful, wonderful dish, and it's absolutely clean and kosher, according to Yahweh's laws. Let's all go for the gold and prove to Yahweh that we can do this. We can. We're not as many, and we're not as set up to do so as they were when Yahweh had a full nation that could have, done this to perfection. But, of course, for money and lust, they didn't. But we can. Being a little group, as we are, we're going to witness against them. Praise Yahweh. If you'll go over to Revelations now. We see a number of things here taking place, and remember this news, because everything here fits in to today's prophecy. And when we were going over this morning, I said, "Well, I need to forego the sermon that was going to bring because there's so much of this news that's just popping out here in Revelations that we need to." Get this in our mind, what's taking place here. But Revelations, the 10th chapter, we're shown here in the first few chapters, if you remember, and I know I've discussed this fully, but Abraham said that Yahweh will provide for himself a lamb. That lamb, of course, was Yahshua, which means He will save His people from their sins. That is, He will show them how to keep the Sabbath. That's the start of complete wisdom from Yahweh, is keeping the Sabbath in the place He comes and teaches us. He places His name. His name, of course, means total righteousness, and that's where He places it. He places it in your mind at His house if you go there to be taught. Now, the seventh messenger, of course, is the one that He chooses, that He did choose, to take the seals off, because Daniel said, "Oh, this is all sealed now until the time of the end." And then in the time of the end, Daniel also prophesied who he would show this to, and that's all revealed in Daniel 12. And he looks and sees two others that are actually explaining the end in the future time of preaching, as Daniel said. Now the prophecies in Isaiah, the scholars say, this is just the beginning of the prophecies. They read one, and it wasn't even the beginning either. They had that wrong too. But he said this is the beginning of the prophecies of a future teacher, a future servant of Yahweh, and they even used the name Yahweh when they said that. But a future servant of Yahweh who will be preaching in the end time the laws of peace, bringing peace to the earth. And of course, Isaiah showed the peace and said they're going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and they won't learn war anymore. So all of this is possible, and that's what Yahweh has promised to us in the future. And of course, that's what you and I are going to bring about. Believe it or not, we're going to bring this about. And then in Revelations 10, now there's some things that is shown to you in the previous chapters here that Yahweh shows in chapter 10 and verse 7 that this person here is going to bring about what you saw previously in Revelation. And then after this, he shows you that this message is going to go out to all the world. That's what Yahshua said too in Matthew 24:14, that this message will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come, the end of man's government. Now, in verse 7 there, he says, But in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound the great secrets, that is what was sealed by Daniel 12 now, which was hidden from the world, and scholars have struggled over it for thousands of years, trying to figure out who this future servant is. And now we're in the end, and it's being revealed. The secrets of Yahweh is being revealed at his house, where he chooses to place his name, to place his name on you, if you could get that down. That's where he chooses to place his name. That's where he judges you, from his house, whether or not you choose this or not, you know, this is where he gives it to you. In the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound, the secrets of Yahweh that's been sealed will be finished. They'll be preached in all the world, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So what we're doing is showing the six works that was before us that Yahweh had inspired his prophets to write. Now, the six works that he showed his prophets, then this is what we are revealing in this time period. We're not only revealing it, we're witnessing it. We're witnessing this ourselves. People asked all the time, why am I suffering this? Well, of course, Yahweh doesn't want you to sin again, so he wants to impress this on your mind, the pain it causes. The world is fixing to go through some real pain. I mean, it's horrible, and they're going to seek death, Yahweh says, but won't be able to find it for a while. This is them, the world, bringing this on themselves. It's not like the King James wanted you to say that Yahweh himself is the one that's causing this to come down upon us, and because he's angry that you're not worshiping Satan the devil, the queen of heaven. I know the newcomers are going to stand with their mouth open for a while, but please get our book, The True Identity of Satan. Unveiling Lucifer. Yes, Unveiling Lucifer. Her True Identity Revealed. Well, now, if you go back now to chapter 8, now, these are some of the things that, and of course, everything from Revelations 1 up to here and to clear through. But then he finally shows when all of this is going to be revealed there in chapter 10, chapter 10, you're at it. So if you look down to verse 11, he said, "Then he said to me, 'You must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and languages and kings.'" He first showed us flying in the air, actually flying, the seventh messenger flying in the air and witnessing to people, which we did. We traveled, I don't remember how many million miles it was, but the credit card kept sending me a reminder of how many million miles we flew. More than Hillary Clinton. Yeah. About three or four times more than Hillary Clinton when those talking about the miles that she flew. Well, we did the same thing, the flying messenger. But now he said, you're going to have to witness again now, but before everyone, there in verse 11. And then, of course, that is chapter 10, verse 11, to peoples, nations, and languages, and kings. So that's what we're doing now when we're reaching the world right now, the whole world. But now chapter 10 and verse 11, you must prophesy, and then chapter 11 shows who it is that must prophesy. And of course, he starts here with two witnesses. So now that you got that in your mind, and those who are not familiar with all this teaching, you need to get our book, The Two Witnesses, The Lost Faith of the Apostles and Prophets, and of course the last book, The Nuclear Baby. Now go back over to chapter 8 now, and notice verse 1. He says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the length of an hour, and I saw the seven malachim." Now he heard from Yahweh's house. He found out, he saw it in Yahweh's house, where Yahweh chooses to place his name. That's where he saw it. The work of the seven works of Yahweh, all of it coming from Yahweh's house in every time period that Yahweh established the work. The seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about an hour. Then I saw the seven malachim who stood before Yahweh, those who have lived and died. The works that lived and died or was murdered, and to them were given seven trumpets. And if you remember the work I did on the trumpets now, put it together with this, the trumpeter, the seventh trumpeter, brings forth this work of the six works before us plus our work. So it's laid on us to bring forth all of this information to anyone who wants it. It means salvation. And another Moloch, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints. That's what we do. We do it all the time, and especially during the feast. Get your request, your prayer request in. We'll send them to heaven with the incense, the smoke of the incense, upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. The gold that we're reaching for right now represents this golden altar. It's not the altar of... Man, every time I think about that. Anyway, let's go to verse 4. "And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints," those who keep all of Yahweh's laws, "at the feast will be sending these up." It ascends up and Yahweh accepts it. It ascends up before Yahweh out of the Moloch's hand, the messenger's hand. That is, by his orders, this takes place in this time period. "And the smoke of the incense, which the with the prayers of the saints," that's the priest that does it every feast, two of them, throughout the whole feast, ascends up to Yahweh out of the hand of the seventh and last work of Yahweh. And the Moloch took the censer and filled it with fire. Now, this takes place in this time period. What he's showing you here is something that's taking place right now. He fills it with fire. You can't understand it by itself, but I'll tie in with it some other events here that will show you what this is talking about. He fills it with fire from the altar and cast it into the earth, unto the earth, fire. That should warm people up, don't you think? Should warm the earth 3 to 5 degrees. Now keep that in mind, because this is occurring right before our eyes right now. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, also representing wars taking place, and an earthquake, looking forward to the biggest one of all. And the seven Malachim, that is the seven works before us, who had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Well, there's only one now in the last days, and they're trumpeting what our forefathers brought forth before us in the six works previous to us. That's what it's saying. If it was translated properly, you would probably see that, but of course the works were sealed, and now it has to be explained. The first Moloch sounded, and there followed hail, fire mangled with blood, which we see big time right now with the bombs going off, the people strapping on bombs and committing suicide to kill others. We see the sick minds here that's taking place in this time period, with fire, hail, mangled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. It's like someone is standing up there throwing this at us, but in actual fact, we're just revealing it from heaven, an inspiration from heaven to the one sent in these last days from his house, showing what the previous six works did, or prophesied of. They didn't do it. They prophesied of this, and the cause that is causing this today. And that's what we're bringing forth and witnessing it. And the third part of the trees, that's people, were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Let me see where we want to. Yeah, let's keep going. And the second Moloch sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea. Now this one goes into the water, the curse. So it's a message showing us what is going on in the sea as well as the earth. And of course, that's got to be taken before the nations and tongues and people. And the third part of the sea became blood. That word blood there actually means death. The same thing, the same wording where the Savior died, his blood was shed for us, and the death came. Now the third part of the creatures which were in the sea, which had life, died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And that word destroyed there doesn't actually mean like wrecked or burned up or anything like that. It means they were put out of business. As you saw in that film just now where the earth is mourning, when I saw that, I said, man, this is speaking of Revelation's the 8th chapter. Warm weather. Now, you saw the film, and this news announcer gave a nice report there on this. Warm weather making marine shrimp supply scarce. Now, this means much more than just killing a few shrimp. Now I want you to think about what's going to take place next. If it continues, which I believe it's going to, I believe this is it. This is the time period that we're facing, this prophecy that was prophesied by all the prophets before us. You kill the shrimp. Well, what does the shrimp do? Of course, people eat the shrimp, you know, but they keep multiplying. Yahweh made them to where they would for the purpose of cleaning the ocean. Now, if the ocean is not cleaned, and if you take some water and you put it in a pan, and you could call that the sea, and you put some human waste or even waste from other creatures in that, and if you didn't have what Yahweh set up, Yahweh set up the earth to where it would cleanse itself, the sea too, it would cleanse itself. That's what we have destroyed from sin because, and I've been through all of this, you need to get the sermons on microorganisms, the real cause of global warming, it's called. And listen to all of that because this is what's bringing this about. Bringing about the global warming, of course. But these shrimp being, their atmosphere being changed, they can no longer live in this environment. So they move out. And this is what this was showing. Now, if they move out, then what is going to clean the earth's surface that lies at the bottom of the sea? And you think about the sewage that is going to pile up without the cleansing process that Yahweh invented here. So it's not just going to be a shortage of shrimp to eat for those who eat the unclean, but it's going to be much worse than that. The clean and the unclean are going to die. And that's what Yahweh is showing you there in that verse. Notice again, it's cast into the sea and a third part of the sea became death. It became death, a third part of it, not the total thing now yet. Yahweh will save the earth and the sea, but notice in a third part of the creatures which were in the sea, which had life, died. And the third part of the ships were put out of business. Well, that's what you see. Every bit of that in this article right here that you just saw on television. It says, a raise in ocean temperatures is killing off the iconic livelihood of New England. A rise in ocean temperatures is killing off the iconic livelihood of New England's fishermen. 2 years ago, they hauled in 14 million pounds of shrimp. But this year, they'll only catch a tenth of that. So what you're doing here, what they've done now, they've killed off 90% of our ocean sweepers, our ocean cleaners. And it's not just the shrimp. The shrimp is the only thing they're concerned about because that's runs their economy. It brings in a lot of money. And that's what they're thinking about. What they should be thinking about is the other death that this is going to cause. You take away 90% of your cleaners and the filth will add up quickly, very quickly. A third generation of fishermen, he's caught lobster in spring, summer, and fall, and shrimp each winter when lobsters move offshore. But that annual rhythm is changing. Pinkham and his team, Derek Colby, worry the shrimp season, which used to last months, could now be just a day. So you've cut it down, you've cut the cleaning down from several months to one day of your ocean. and the cleaning, the filth that is adding up here, the death. This is death. It's death to almost everything in the sea. That just one day, the cold water shrimp population has dropped by 20 million pounds since 2009. So it wasn't just overnight, see. This has been going on for a while. But I think when we first started warning the world of what it was doing to the sea and the earth, I think it started after that. I mean, it picked up steam after that, big time. And it got to where the ocean could not take care of what was taking place in the ocean. Now, in the articles on global warming, in the lessons on global warming, we actually proved, we had proof that STDs, in fact, it was AIDS, that was killing off the coral reefs. Why in heaven can't they realize? Why can't our sinuses realize that the same thing that we're dumping into the sea, into the lakes, into the water, that it's latching on to all the microorganisms that make up the cleaning supply of this ocean? Why can't they see that? And it's doing the same thing in the air. Why are these people going out of business? You're putting yourselves out of business by not following the laws of Yahweh, which would have kept our oceans clean and free of filth, of death. Well, now the death is adding up in the oceans, and yes, it's putting the ships out of business, just like the scripture says it's going to. This past year is one of the warmest years we've had here, Perkins said. The bottom temperature here in the Gulf of Maine, where shrimp are caught and have been 3 to 5 degrees Fahrenheit above normal. That's a huge increase in temperature in the marine environment. Marine Department, shrimp stocks off Maine are in critical condition, down 72% from just last year. The 300 shrimp traps, well, that's going on to the more of the economy, but you get the picture that what Yahweh created is being destroyed. And of course, he says that we are to take this message throughout the earth, which we're doing at this time, the message of the real cause of global warming. It's there for you to get and read. Revelations 8 and verse 11, notice he says the name of the star, well, we've got to go back to 10. The third Moloch sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were like a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers. Rivers. This is the rivers now, not the sea. We just covered that. But this fell upon the rivers and upon the fountains of water. So this would be your drinking supply, your drinking water. You got that? Now, everybody out there in radio land, spread this word when you see this. Tell them to get this sermon. Maybe we should start announcing what number they could ask for or something like that. But call the house and they'll tell you. But he says, in the name of the star that fell was wormwood, and a third part of the waters. Now, you're talking about drinking waters here. A third part of the drinking waters became wormwood, and many men died. Now, this is something that's going to cause mass killing. You see that? Read it. Read it for yourself. This is something that's going to cause mass killing in the earth. Everyone must have water. Now, if you put filth in your body, in your water, and you drink it, it will kill you. Many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. If you turn over to Colossians, don't just take this for what we see here, but turn over to Colossians and notice what he's showing you here. Colossians 3 and verse 9. Bitter. 3, Colossians 3 and verse 19. 3 and verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. And do not be bitter against them. Now, this is the same word here. It means bitter. It means angry. It means hateful. It means violent. What was that you saw in the last part? Some preacher? He's a preacher, wasn't he? Yeah. What did he do? Stab his wife? Well, know what he did? Killed her or what? Y'all remember that? This news? Do not be angry, hateful, violent with her. Oh, well, just believe, you'll go. I bet he taught that sermon before 1,000 times before he stabbed her to death. Now, with that, go back to Revelations, the 8th chapter now, Revelations 8. And notice that again, bitter, embittered, irritate, aggravate, annoy. Well, how many times have we brought the sermons of what we've done to our bodies, what we're causing our bodies to go through? It causes confusion to the mind. It brings hatred and wars, Yahweh said. Well, this is what you see that the prophets before us actually forecast was going to take place. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became Wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. 10 girls beat a woman for fun at a school bus stop in New Windsor, police say. 2 13-year-olds and a 12-year-old call what they did mopping or popping on someone and told police they did it for fun and chose their victims at random. The attack happened at 7:50 a.m. on Route 9W. According to the town police, the three girls attacked the mom as her child was getting on the bus. They repeatedly punched and kicked her and pulled her by the hair. Police said one of the three suspects was on suspension from school, and the others had not gone to school. The suspects, whose names was withheld, charged with second-degree gang assault, a felony, endangering the welfare of the child, a misdemeanor. After being processed by police, they were turned over to their parents pending appearances in court. Well, of course, they got laws to cover all of this. I don't know why that didn't change it. And you would think, well, we got to pass another law. That'll do it. No, it won't do it. You know, what brought this about, and they still can't get it, what brought this about is what we did to put the anger, the hatred in the mind. You know, it could have been the reason Cain killed Abel, could have been because he started eating pork. because pork does that to the brain, makes you aggressive, very aggressive. In fact, armies fed pork blood to their soldiers, history shows, to make them aggressive. It makes them want to kill. But the trouble was, they said, they want to kill in each other. And of course, it cut down on their army. So they had to weaken it somewhat. But these things that they put in, that you put into your body, they do damage the body. Remember the waters, the drinking waters. Water the main focus. This is an article. Water the main focus during Brownwood Mayor Stephen Haynes' State of the City address. However, water was the talk of the town and is the one area, Brownwood, like much of Texas, well, it's spreading out more than Texas, 62% the last I heard of the United States, could use some improvement, he says. Will the drought that obviously hit our region has everyone focused on water supply? It has just made everyone realize how important it is, not just drinking water standards, but also for the industry, the jobs, the economy, of course. Haynes discussed the water reuse plant. That's where you take your sewer water and you filter it. Then you pour it in a glass and drink it. The reuse plant. And showed the water from City Hall's drinking fountain looks exactly like water from the wastewater plant by holding up two bottles filled with water. Haynes drank from one of the bottles after an audience member proposed the challenge. When asked if he knew which water he had drank, "I have a reasonable estimate, but I'm not 100% sure," he said. Within 9 months, the city hopes to know what the backup water source will be. The city would like to have a secondary water source in case the drought continues and Lake Brownwood continues to decline. Well, of course, this is what's taking place. It's also taking place here in Abilene. And as the man said on last week's news, I don't know if we showed that or not, but he said, every time that it rains and the city floods, we have that here at Clyde and in Abilene, the sewage that is in the creek, where do you think it goes, he said. It goes in our lakes. Where do you think we get our lake water that goes into your tap water? Well, tap water is the subject right here. Our drinking water is the subject in Revelations 8. And he says, where do you think that goes? And he said, we have to clean it. And what you're drinking is exactly what I'm trying to tell you we're going to clean more of. And this will save us millions of gallons of water. Well, of course, Yahweh calls it bitter, embittered, irritate, aggravate, annoy. Now, I read that one. In Revelations, Brownwood, the second one, Brownwood gets approval of this. It gets approval. Accordingly, we are prepared to proceed with a supplemental water supply that will recycle approximately 1.5 million gallons of water a day that could feasibly reduce the city consumption by about one-third. Strange he would mention one-third, isn't it? One-third. Isn't that something? Let's go over to Revelation 14 now. 14. Revelation 14, and look at verse 8. And there followed another Malachim, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This is the reason for the fall. They're bringing themselves down with what they're doing. What they're putting in their body is going into their minds. Now, if you get their way of solving this, it's not to correct the situation that caused the drought. It's not to correct that. It's not to correct the situation that's causing the global warming. What they're trying to do is put a Band-Aid on or give themselves a shot to hide the symptoms, to get rid of the symptoms right now. A quick fix is what they want. And that's what you see with everything they're doing here, with medicine as well as with water, the water supply. In chapter 16, and notice verse 3, 16 verse 3, and the second Moloch poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. This is death. It became death. And every living thing died in the sea. That every is not actually that. Yahweh does preserve this sea. He has a plan to, like he did with Noah, to save certain things. So he will preserve it, but he will let mankind see what his way is bringing upon him before he changes it. Now look back to, remember that blood and death. Look back to chapter 8 again. Chapter 8, and notice verse 5. Chapter 8 and verse 5. And the Moloch took the censer and filled it with fire. Fire now. From the altar, and cast it unto the earth, and there was voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. He took fire. Article says, 2012 was the hottest year in U.S. history. And yes, it's climate change. And he says, it's official, 2012 was the hottest year on record in the continental USA, and it wasn't even close. Last year's heat, the previous record holder, 1998, the summer of which I spent boiling to death as a New York item. But it shows the United States is covering the world. But he took fire, and he cast it unto the earth. If you go back to Deuteronomy now, Deuteronomy 30, and Yahweh shows us here that he has set this before man, and of course this is what mankind has chosen to follow that brings it about. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. See, I have set before you this day life and righteousness, but I've also set before you death and destruction. Well, of course, we're seeing this now in Revelations. We're broadcasting it. The house of Yahweh is broadcasting it throughout the earth. That's the reason I'm despised. The servant of Yahweh, Scripture shows, I'm despised and abhorred by the nations and loved by the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And he says, life and death and destruction. Let's read on. In that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father, by walking in all of his ways, by keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live. so that you may live, period. That's it. So you may live. Look on down to verse 17. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient and you are drawn away to submit to gods, remember this is what took place with Eve. She said, go ahead and eat this pork, if that's what it was. Go ahead and eat this pork. Yahweh knows you won't die, but you will be like the gods. Well, of course, they're finding now that the planets once had life on them. They once had water on them. What caused them to be blown away? What caused them no life at all there today? The same thing could happen to Earth if Yahweh didn't have a plan to save it. But your heart be turned to the gods. Worship them and serving them. That's what mankind is doing now, and this is what's bringing this about. Verse 18, I declare to you this day that you will surely perish. You will bring this on your own self, this death and destruction. Look at verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, he says, choose life so that both you and your children can live, will be able to live. Verse 20, so you may love Yahweh, your Father, by listening to him at his house and then obeying him, hold fast to him, for he is your life. Look back to chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. He shows the blessings here in the first 14 verses that the earth could have right now. Mankind could be enjoying all the blessings that he gives here in the first 14 verses of this chapter. But verse 15 says, however, if you do not obey Yahweh, your Father, and do not carefully follow all his laws and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses you're going to bring upon yourself, and they're going to accompany you. Turn on over to verse 22. Yahweh will strike you with consumption, eating away of your flesh, cancer, with fever, with inflammation, with scorching. Now, it says Yahweh will strike you. That's a mistranslation. You will bring these things upon yourself. You can choose this or the other. Yahweh doesn't do it. He's warning you, don't do this or you'll be drinking your own urine. You'll be bringing death to yourself in the last days. You will be eating the unclean. You will be causing global warming. You're going to bring all of this stuff upon yourself if you don't follow Yahweh. The way to correct this, you've screwed it up. Now you've got to unscrew it or it will never stop. You're the cause of the problem. You've got to convert yourself or the microorganisms can't convert. They can't convert until you do the converting, till you repent and do the converting. And then we can turn this around and the microorganisms that clean our ocean, that clean our air, will come back to this wonderful earth that Yahweh made. With consumption, with fever, with inflammation, scorching heat. Scorching heat, yes, it's going to get worse than this. I'm telling all the lands out there, listen to me. Listen to me, you British Isles, you islands, all the nations, listen to me. I'm telling you, there's no way to do this. There's no way to undo this except repent and convert and start following Yahweh's laws. This will turn it around. Start preaching the peaceful solution with me. Get it in the schools. Get it in the governments now. You'll be plagued with the sword. Yes, Isaiah 2 shows that just turning to Yahweh's laws, the people will start beating their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hook. with sword, with blasting. You know, people say, well, that's blasting of the wind. No, the wind doesn't call a fallout. It doesn't cause fallout to come down upon you, a fallout dust. And that's what it's speaking of here. If you just read the rest of it, read the scriptures and it will show you. No, it's blasting from explosions. And this one is a nuclear bomb, and the dust that comes down upon you will destroy you if you'll just read the rest of it. If you'll read the rest of it, then maybe you can convert. You can start unscrewing what you've screwed up. Because that's the essence of the full story right there. You have ruined it, and the only way to straighten it out is to turn, repent. And then our microbes, they will turn. They will convert. They'll go back to doing their jobs the way they used to do it, when the earth was beautiful and successful and the people lived 1,000 years or more. That's what we've taken away from ourselves. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!